Safety first.
Hi and welcome to a new episode of Safety First, TÜV Süd's podcast on cybersecurity and more. I'm Schleen Schürmann, and today's show is about a quite narrow topic, but one that affects us all sooner or later: cybersecurity in medical devices. We see the market for smart and connected medical devices constantly growing. And looking into the near future, they will help a lot of people. But these devices are also storing and transmitting data about our health. So we need to take a good look at how secure they are and how we can protect our data. We have two guests on the show today. Francisco Navarro, he's a cybersecurity expert for medical devices, and Navid Sayed, he is product and sales manager for cybersecurity and data protection. Both work at TÜV Süd. Hi Francisco, hi Navid, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Francisco, please give us an example how a patient is confronted with the Internet of Medical Things already today. Let's say we have a person with a chronic disease, maybe in part treated in the hospital and at home. What does his day look like? Which devices does he use at home? Does he communicate with his doctors? What are his interactions from a medical and technical point of view? At which points does he record personal data?
Well, let's take, for example, a dialysis patient. A dialysis patient needs to record and to use at the same time several medical devices, whether it is home dialysis or it is in clinic treatment. But for example, let's take the case that a dialysis patient has a home dialysis. And for these, at the moment, he will need like three specific devices. One, it will be a weight, a digital weight, to record his weight before and after the treatment. Then a blood pressure monitor and the dialysis machine itself. The three devices will be connected to a system which will record this information and will send the data to the clinic or to the doctor that is responsible for him or her to monitor the treatment. How everything is connected? Well, for example, you're going to say, okay, all this information, the treatment information, how the treatment was made, the weight, the blood pressure, everything needs to be sent to a system where the doctor later can monitor and can check if the treatment was carried out correctly. In the house itself, you will need that all these devices are interconnected. They will need like a small gateway that connects all the devices. And to be responsible of transmitting the data safely and secure to the doctors or the clinics or hospital system.
So which of these interactions and techniques are already in use, like today?
All of these is already applicable. For example, home dialysis is not something new. It is something that it has been done by many companies in the last years. And lately, it has been growing a lot. All this technology already exists, and it's already being applied by many companies.
Navid, maybe you can give us a little overview. We're talking about a lot of data here about the patient and a lot of very sensible data. Where are they recorded and how are they transmitted to the clinic, to the hospital, to the doctor?
It depends. I think there are different ways to store the data. First, there are also hospitals who have their own infrastructure, IT infrastructure. So they save the data in their own data centers. I think there are also hospitals who are slowly moving into the cloud and putting their data into the cloud because it's honestly more convenient many times. There's always the communication between the devices and the infrastructure itself, but also sometimes there's communication between devices. So two devices communicate with each other. So there are many ways for data to be communicated, but there are also many ways to store them on many different points. It's either your own infrastructure, you can store them in the cloud or whatever. So there's a lot of opportunity, basically.
It can be stored, for example, in a clinic or hospital systems, in a public or private cloud, or even companies themselves, they are storing the data in their own servers. And at the moment, there's no regulation on where the data should be stored. Of course, there are best practices and standards in order to guarantee safety and security of the information and data, but there's nothing more at the moment.
So let's look at the cybersecurity regarding these devices. Which are the implications for cybersecurity in our example?
There are too many medical devices which could be very dangerous for people if somebody changes settings. You don't need to break them because what I read a lot of times is that people say, well, what if I do a denial of service and the heartbeat monitor stops working, or the infusion pump stops working, or the breathing machine stops working? Of course, that's dangerous, but you don't actually need to stop the device from working. You just need to change settings, and that's already very dangerous. We can look at countries and how they manage their, let's say, health management systems or whatever. And basically, also these systems have very sensitive data, for example, like which sicknesses I have or which sicknesses people in my country have. And this is a very disturbing example of how or why we should actually secure this information, not just the devices from getting hacked to save people, but just the sensitive data of people to make sure that if somebody is sick, nobody else knows it. Because if they don't need to know it, why should they know it?
Those are all very frightening scenarios. But what is the level of awareness for cybersecurity at manufacturers and in hospitals?
Hospitals have a high level of awareness. Well, there has been in the last years a lot of attacks, specifically in the hospital business, a lot of what they are called ransomware attacks, where the hackers completely lock their IT systems of hospitals until the hospitals pay a certain amount so that they can use back their systems. Until now, we got to say there has not been serious attacks to medical devices. Unfortunately, the vulnerabilities found in medical devices have been found at the right moment and have been patched until today. And manufacturers are working on it. No manufacturer wants to really be known as that, okay, because of the use of that specific device, they could get into a hospital. The investment on what it is doing, it's like a hidden investment. It's like you're investing in infrastructure. You don't see the benefit of it. And the end manufacturers are trying to create profit, and they need to invest money in cybersecurity in something that they are really no one is going to see. Even though they are aware of the need, the investment is still not on par with the capabilities that the hackers could have.
Of course, right now, we can't see the return of investment, or there's no reason to buy a product because of cybersecurity at the moment. In the near future, I think cybersecurity will be a reason to buy a product or also services, because if I can tell this hospital my products, my medical devices are developed in a secure way and continuously checked for cybersecurity, you should use them, because I'm sure my hospital will not be hacked by a hacker because I use this secure device, then it makes sense for me to buy this device. So I think in future it will be a reason to buy a product.
So let's get a little more into this regulation topic. Francisco, maybe you can tell us which aspects of your regulation are already in place for cybersecurity in the Internet of Medical Things and which are missing from your point of view.
Worldwide, there are many standards that are specifically made for medical devices. In USA, we have the pre-market and post-market requirements for medical devices. Those are responsible in order to give guidelines to manufacturers on how the cybersecurity and lifecycle management of the medical device should be. In Canada, there is also a US-Canada. In China, there's China FDA. Singapore has their own committee just for cybersecurity of medical devices. Japan is working on it. And the European Union has the MDR, the medical device regulation, was supposedly to be starting to be applied this year, but due to coronavirus, it was delayed until May 2021. So there are many regulations, as you can see, worldwide. It's only that the level of detail has been it's increasing with these years as the new technology. And as a push of internet, many of these regulations were done also many years ago where the internet was not that widespread or there were not so many technologies. And now the updates are coming last year and this year where they are taking into consideration all these new advancements in technology.
So, but we can say there are a lot of different kind of regulations and with different levels of detail, as you said. How does this fit in a globalized market for these high-tech medical devices?
Everybody or every institution, even though there's not a global agreement, they are trying to just give guidances and best practices on how to do a cybersecurity. Nobody has can say that they have a right answer or a bad answer, because if not, we would have by now a global standard in order how to cybersecurity at once. So there's no right or wrong, but many follow, for example, the three main principles to be confidentiality, integrity of data, and availability of data.
Francisco, do you think manufacturers and users view this regulation more an obstacle or as a chance?
Not as an obstacle, not as a chance. They see the technology as a chance, I would say. But the regulations, for them, I think it's more paperwork. And they see it like more work. I don't think they see it as an obstacle. They just see, okay, we need to do more work. We need to comply with another standard. There is more process. Now we need more experts. They need to invest. And as I told you, they know that it's needed. But most of the companies, they try to do the minimum in order not to create a big investment. Because at the end, nobody knows what is right. You can only estimate what is the level of threat that your product may have. And depending on the level of threat and the level of interest that a product may cause for a hacker, it is how they are seeing how to invest. But there's no common standard to saying, okay, this is the minimum. It is depending on these factors, I will say.
I think there's both of the things, because at least the conversations I had with people who are working close with the cybersecurity departments as well, but also the project or product managers, I think there are mixed feelings. I agree, and I think they would probably also agree with Francisco that cybersecurity for now is an obstacle they have to accomplished now. There is extra work, there's extra paperwork, but I think, and they realize it because they're smart people, that cybersecurity basically, and that sound, don't quote me on that, is a necessary evil. Because if you want to survive in a digital world, you need to be compliant to cybersecurity. Because if your product is the only product in the market which gets hacked all the time, then it's probably easy to say that everyone will buy other services or other products because they are more secure. So, like I said, I think there are mixed feelings. Of course, it's extra money and it costs more money. So it's, in my opinion, at least, it is an extra effort, but it's basically worth the effort.
Francisco, when we get back to the big picture, you told us in our prep talk that there are four trends which will lead to more use of connected medical devices in the next few years. Please explain these four trends again.
So I would say one is the global resource constraint. For example, there's the shortage of personnel, shortage of medical equipment. And one of the best examples that we have had is that COVID-19 has shown the difficulties of our health systems worldwide. We have seen, for example, that many hospitals and many health systems in many countries worldwide were not prepared for a pandemic like we're having right now. Even the World Health Organization reports a shortage of more than 6 million healthcare workers worldwide in order to treat COVID-19. And until 2030, they were reporting that there will be a shortage of almost 20 to 25 million healthcare workers. So that is one of the things that is pushing one of the trends. The second trend is the aging population. that is with the aging population comes the rise of chronic illness, heart diseases, respiratory conditions, renal conditions. And with this, there comes a push for better treatments and a push to take these treatments to patients' homes. The other trend is the increasing in consumer engagement. Many people or individuals are being more careful about your personal health. Many of us, I know, we're using, for example, digital watches, or it be Apple Watch or Fitbit. We monitor how many steps we walk daily, how we arrive to our 10,000 steps recommended daily. How is our heart rate at, when we're doing something, when we're working out, and even how do we sleep? These devices can monitor how are we sleeping, how are the RPM cycles, and everybody is being more health conscious. And the last one that I think is also one of the basics is the digitalization. We have come from standalone products to systems to smart products. And what we said is virtual healthcare. What everything that we are achieving today can only be done because we have the technology. Everybody of us has a smartphone. So with this, it opens a lot of possibilities also. And those are the four big trends that are shaping the future of digital health.
So the COVID-19 situation seems to drive the innovation even more towards more digital processes in the field of medicine and care, just the same as in other areas. And at the same time, although there is awareness for cybersecurity, there's not always enough money to get to it. So do you think in the future there will be a possibility to manage those two things together?
The COVID-19 has come and pushed digitalization in most of the industries. In the medical aspect is that it is more takes more precautions at the time of implementing something or implementing a new technology. It had been not widely used, but the COVID-19 came and started pushing it and pushing many of this technology into the field, into being used. And as we talked at the beginning, it started not to be regulated, or many companies are developing or launching products in market at the moment without doing any cybersecurity testing or taking into consideration that much cybersecurity, because they needed to push it right the quickest possible in order to affront all the needs that we are facing. But I think it is going to be coming in the next months, where these companies will need to catch up to cybersecurity, make the necessary testings, make the necessary procedures in order to cover the cybersecurity. Medical companies are smart enough to know that in the coming months, they will need to create patches or security patches and do the cybersecurity testing needed in order to ensure data and patient safety.
COVID-19 will be an accelerator for digitalization and also cybersecurity, as cybersecurity, in my opinion, is part of digitalization. And I think we already see it in both industries, because I think for once, a lot of cybersecurity companies are growing right now because many companies have to now go digital and their services or products need to be secured. Thus, they also get more projects. Of course, COVID-19 doesn't have any benefits for us. But I think one thing which happened out of it is that digitalization is pushed right now. And I think, in my opinion, that's something which should have happened earlier anyways. And just COVID-19 is just accelerating it right now.
So thank you very much, you both. Thank you, Francisco. Thank you, Navid, for being with us on this show today. It was very interesting.
Thank you. Thanks for having us in the show.
Thank you.
All episodes of Safety First are available at tufzoot.com/podcast and on many podcast platforms and podcast apps. If you like Safety First, then subscribe to us. Thanks for listening. See you next time and stay safe. Safety First is produced by TÜV Süd, editorial support and audio production by Ikone Media.